Thanks for listening to audio from North Monroe. To learn more about who we are, visit northmonroe.com or download the North Monroe app in the App Store or on Google Play. Now, here's this week's message.
Good morning, North Monroe. How are y'all today? You know, I may be on my last leg, but I start every day off on the right foot. So, you know, yeah, y'all get that. Could be worse. But, you know, I want to start off by really sincerely thanking this whole congregation. You know, the last 22 months of my life have been just absolute struggle. And this whole community came together and wrapped their arms around me and my family and really brought us through this tough time. You know, people gave blood, people sent up prayers, and, you know, I'll be forever thankful for what y'all have done for me and helped me along my recovery. But really, I don't have much for y'all today. Really, all I got to say is I love Jesus, right? But I mean, seriously, though, I really don't have anything else. Like, that's all I got to say. Like, I love Jesus. I don't know. I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke. But no, Pastor Bill probably wouldn't be real happy with me. I might be the substitute, but I can't let y'all off that easy today. But, you know, really, if you think about it, everything I've been through, how crazy it is, miraculous, none of it matters unless my statement of I love Jesus is true. That's all that matters. Your life, everything you've been through, the reason you're here today does not matter unless you love Jesus. That's what it all boils down to. And I hope if y'all get anything out of my story today, y'all understand that my heart is filled with Jesus. And that has not always been the case. Now, I am going to warn y'all, I'm not a pastor. My voice actually kind of gave out on me about halfway through the first service this morning. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that it hangs in there. But y'all can put y'all's Bibles down. We're not going to be in them today. Instead, what I have for y'all is my rescue story. So to give y'all a little background, I grew up in Rabel, Louisiana, just a skip and a hop that way. I was raised in the church, hardly ever missed a Sunday service growing up. I got baptized at the age of 7. I went to youth camps, disciple nows, Bible schools. I mean, I was on fire for the Lord for seasons through my adolescent years. But as I got a little older, the world's grip kind of squeezed in on me. And I was introduced to drugs and alcohol in high school. And I mean, I got to say, I liked it, you know, then. It's kind of broke me out of my shell and plugged me in socially. But really, growing up, my first love was sports. That was what I truly cared about as a kid. And eventually, when my athleticism caught up to my size, y'all see here today, college coaches came from all across the country to watch me play football on Friday nights right up the road at Sterlington. In my senior year, I received close to 20 scholarship offers to play football at schools all across the country. That was when my prideful nature really came to life. You know, I considered that something I alone had done, right? This was all about me. I set out to LSU, the school that I chose. I'd be crazy to choose any other one, right? To claim a starting spot. But in college, my love for drugs and alcohol grew stronger while my relationship with Jesus hung by a thread, if it really even existed at all. I tried to juggle partying and football, and in the end, it just kind of caught up to me. And my career was cut short after 4 seasons at LSU. And I grew angry and I was bitter about it. You know, I wanted to blame somebody else. But the problem really just lied with my work ethic. I became self-conscious about my lackluster football career, and I consumed more drugs and alcohol to bury the pain. It's a vicious cycle. But like most men are, I was really good at hiding my brokenness. You know, I landed a good job out of college and played the part of a successful young man. Got married to my high school sweetheart, bought a starter home, had a child. I mean, life looked good on the outside. You know, I was a holiday church service kind of guy. I know y'all can understand that. And I really sought to have no personal relationship with Jesus in my life at all. You know, I got saved when I was a kid. I said the prayer, walked the aisle, got dunked in the water, the whole nine yards. You know, the way I saw it was my job was finished. I did my part. Now it was time for God to do his part and bless my life. That's how I saw it. You know, I knew my name was already in his book. Why did I have to do anything else? And truth be told, I love my sin. And I could never imagine a life where I would just give it all up. I didn't think I had to. On the outside, life was good. But on the inside, there was something missing. You know, my heart was full of envy, lust, greed, hate, and lots of pride. You know, I had become a product of the world, and I sought to live out all my desires, no matter who it hurt or what it cost me. I had run away from God, but he had not forgotten me. In fact, God forcefully entered my life on December the 28th, 2018. That morning, I was over at Eagle Lake, Mississippi, duck hunting with my cousin and a couple of our friends. And we were getting ready to change spots in about mid-morning. And I was standing around the passenger side of a Polaris Ranger when a black Labrador Retriever jumped up into the bed. Split second after the dog jumped in, a 12-gauge round fired from my shotgun went through the bed of the Ranger, hit me point blank in the top of my left thigh. In the blink of an eye, every hunter's worst nightmare, the unimaginable, became my reality. Seconds after the gun fired, I kind of glanced down and I noticed about a coffee can size hole in the bed of the Ranger. Hole was right next to my leg. I didn't feel any pain at all when the shot hit me. It's kind of crazy. But I took a step back to kind of get a better look, see what happened. And when I did, my leg didn't move. I stumbled, fell to the ground, and the adrenaline rush just ran over me like a freight train. Just imagine. I prayed in that moment. It was just all a dream. I knew right away the injury was fatal. Just because my body completely shut down. Like I was paralyzed, could not move. My cousin called 911. She cranked up the Ranger. And I was kind of sitting up in the passenger seat holding pressure on my leg. And just put yourself there for a second. Just think, like just imagine the chaos that consumed all of us right there. And in that chaos, for some reason, he made a quick decision to drive me to the nearest highway versus back to our camp. Now, to explain that, where we were at, it was about the same distance to both places. And getting me to the highway allowed me to get to the hospital 15 minutes faster, which saved my life. As we got close to the road, the memory of what I saw and felt still scares me. It was a real dull gray, kind of nasty morning. And I could just feel the presence of evil just lurking all around me. My mind wandered to my family. I was about to leave my wife widowed and my precious little son, little boy, fatherless for his entire life. That emotional pain far outweighed any physical pain I felt. And with the harsh reality that my time was up, suddenly every mistake and wrongdoing just like came back, flooded my thoughts, and just wasted life. Like I did nothing with my life. I lived just for me, all for me. Just pounded in my head. And I fought that feeling because I wasn't sure what lied ahead of me. I was not sure where I was going when I left this world. That's not the feeling anybody wants to have when they're dying. And once the ranger stopped, they pulled me out, laid me on the side of the road, and as seconds kind of turned into minutes, the simple act of just simply breathing, became impossible. We were not anywhere close to a hospital, and I was bleeding out fast. When the ambulance got there, they started to cut my waders off, and the severity of my injury was realized. You know, blood just poured out of my waders like water from a pitcher, and my clothes were stained red from the chest down. Just madness. My femoral artery had been directly hit and destroyed by the shotgun blast that had occurred about 20 minutes earlier. As I was loaded into the ambulance, I faintly remember like the cliche bright light, and then just an endless dark pit just swallowed me. This was the first time my heart stopped beating that day. I went into cardiac arrest for about 45 minutes total. You know, spiritually, I have never been so certain that death is not the end for all of us. You know, I knew in that moment I was about to die. Like, there was no wondering when you reached the point I was at. And I laid there confused on why I felt distant from God. You know, I checked the baptism box already. But in that moment, I felt afraid and alone. You know, I now understand I had made the critical mistake far too many people make. And it's easy to make. You know, I spoke of belief, but it never truly penetrated my heart. I did not live in a way that reflected the belief I spoke of. I lived all about me. I loved myself over everything else. Now, I didn't experience that heart change. Jesus, he didn't know me. Now, I believed a lie that I was on that narrow path because I said a special prayer when I was a kid. And I would die old. But no one really knows when their judgment day will come. From my experience, for me, I found the idea of once saved, always saved to be wrong. It was for me that day. You know, don't make the mistake of failing to understand what the gospel reads like I did. I wound up spending about 12 days in a coma, exactly 12 days, really. Had 9 surgeries and over 300 blood transfusions. That is a lot of blood, y'all. Like I'm like a crazy science experiment gone bad or something, like Frankenstein, I don't know. And finally, after all that, I regained consciousness. You know, the doctors, they really feared this because I had been in a coma for so long. They had no way of knowing if my brain had actually been cut off from blood and oxygen at any point. They really did not think I would wake up the same person at all. But it really didn't take long for my wife to know I was back. You know, I can't imagine what all she went through in those 12 days. When I started to kind of come to, she was just so happy, like just so thrilled to see me waking up. And she came up and put her hands on my face, so happy. And my reaction was, "Your hands are cold. Please get them off of me." Like, What? That was probably not the reaction she had been dreaming of over the last 12 days. But, you know, the doctors, they could not understand how I even survived, much less that I did not suffer from any brain damage, none. You know, many of them called this medically impossible and a miracle. By human standards, I'm not supposed to be here. But God reached down. He saved my life and mine that day. He breathed air back into my lungs, and he rescued my soul from eternal separation from him. I didn't deserve a second chance, man. I had every opportunity to find salvation throughout my blessed life, and I chose the material world instead. Let me set y'all straight on material things real quick. When I was laying on the side of the road dying, all the material things in this world that I had acquired or I ever dreamed of acquiring, not one of them, none of them, they were not on my mind in that moment. I wasn't thinking about any of it. Nothing this world has to offer was not on my mind in that moment. The only thing that was on my mind was my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. My advice to y'all is to focus more on your eternal life than your earthly one. Promise you'll never regret it. Although God gave me life, he did not give me the same life I had before. You know, in order to also save me, doctors had to amputate my left leg at the hip, which is like way up here. This amputation is called a hip disarticulation amputation, which I understand is quite the mouthful. So the nickname for this is called hippie. So whether I like it or not, I'm a hippie for life now, which honestly, I thought that was pretty far out. I don't know about y'all, but... this amputation, it's extremely rare and it's very difficult to overcome. And I will guarantee everybody in this room today, you will never see a prosthetic leg as long as mine. You can bet big money on that. I promise you, you won't lose. You know, at first I was glad to be alive. I was, but that soon kind of turned to bitterness and anger on why this happened to me. You know, it was apparent God wanted me alive, but I just wasn't sure why. You know, part of me thought there was purpose, while the other part believed God just wanted to torture me. But my anger, it became fuel, and I was determined to make the most out of this new life that was filled with constant struggles. You know, I wasn't going to sit around and wait on God to give me another miracle. And I made a remarkable recovery. I got my new body in tremendous shape, lost like 110 pounds. Whew, some of that was my leg. But and I learned to walk again. You know, I gained my independence back. I felt I was strong enough. I can handle this on my own. I got this. But I was lying to myself. This is far too difficult to do alone. You know, my life is too difficult to do alone. You may think your life's too difficult to do alone too. You know, my old sins, they started to creep back into my life, and I began to feel that familiar emptiness just bubbling up. But God, he never gave up on me. He kept turning that uneasiness inside of me. And I knew in my heart I didn't need to keep these old sins around, right? What's the point? Why did he save my life if I'm just going to keep living the life I had before? You know, I felt God had a purpose, but I was having a real hard time just fully trusting him. You know, I knew I wanted to help people overcome struggles in their life, but before my heart changed, I was focused on me as the centerpiece in my story. I mean, yeah, God was involved, and I would say that, but really, I was holding the reins now. I wanted complete control of my life. You know, it turns out God had been molding and shaping me for his purpose, not mine. And I didn't even realize it. He was not done with my story. He would, in fact, change my heart. And to kind of explain kind of how he did it, I'm going to read y'all something that I wrote. This is my description of what it's like to lose a leg. Imagine this, out of the blue, one day, stranger walks up to you and says, "All right, I'm about to take your leg. You have to hand over everything you know in your life without any questions. If you refuse, you're going to die. I'm going to give you a new life now, but this life, it's going to be uncomfortable and very difficult. You're going to believe you can't possibly do it, and you're going to want to quit. And it's going to help if you have patience, the right mindset, seek proven wisdom, keep positive people around you in your new life. If you can follow these instructions, you will have a better chance of success. If you make it, one day far down the road, you will look back on all your struggles and be thankful for them. These struggles will define you and make you a light so bright, others will flock to you and ask, 'How can you be so happy? You're missing your leg, man.' You will then reply, 'How can you not be happy with two legs?' You will learn so much about yourself fighting this battle. And one day, you won't be able to imagine your life with your leg. You will wonder, 'What would I have become if I would have never had to fight to stand?'" Does this sound familiar to any of you who follows Jesus with their life? It was crazy. These words, I really wasn't going for this, but these words just poured out of me one night, and I immediately saw the parallel to walking with Jesus. Like you see on the screen behind me, replace the word leg with sin, and it applies to everybody in this room. God gave me real life practice of what it would take to follow his son, Jesus. I know, believe me, I know firsthand how hard it is to give up your life. But that's the only way to move forward with him. We have to understand, you know, God does not want our actions. He wants our hearts. That's what he's after, this space right here. We have to know that, understand that he does not need us. He doesn't. He's God. But we need him. His purpose all along was to lead me to my salvation. And finally understand that I need him. That's his purpose for all of us. You know, only God can take this 3-foot-long prosthetic leg and turn it into a tool for my salvation. You know, no matter what you may be going through in your life, he can use it for his purpose. And he tells us his purpose is good. Now, even though it's hard, you just got to have patience. Give him control and time to reveal your circumstance to you in a different way. I kind of like to think of life in like football terms, because like really deep down, y'all, I'm just a simple-minded meathead. You know, nothing special here. But y'all think about this. You know, how many championship teams have you seen where the players do all the playing and the coaching? There's no coaches involved at all. This is real life now, not movies, y'all. The answer is none. You know, yeah, if you're a player calling your own plays, you might make a play here and there. You might even win a game, but you're not going to win a championship. For so long in my life, I was a player calling my own plays. So many times my plays busted against the opponent. Are you calling your own plays today? Are you running from something that God has called you to? We all dream of winning a championship in life, which I hope for everybody in this room is to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. There is nothing better. And I guarantee y'all, we stand a far better chance with Jesus up in the press box calling the plays. You know, I've seen the light. I have felt the Holy Spirit at work in me. I now seek to live a life so I don't have the same experience the next time I breathe my last breath. So now, y'all, I want to ask you, does this sound like my rescue story? I don't think it does. Now, this is God's rescue story. My story is His story because I am nothing. I'm not even standing here today if it wasn't for Him saving my life. I love you, North Monroe. God bless y'all. I hope y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Our hope is that this message has encouraged you to seek Christ in your own life and make Him known wherever you are. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.